Yeah, it's like, bitch, I'm just sitting here. Like, I'm just waiting on you. You called me. I didn't call you.
I put myself over by the window for nothing.
Yeah. Just staring out into the abyss. Just be like, this is great. This is a great show.
Better lighting.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Get Realism's podcast. I am your host, Adam Chase Rennie. It is just me today. It is just your boy, steering the ship here. Christine is on set as we speak right now, doing her thing, working as a first AD. We talked about it a little bit on last week's episode with Lauren Locks, who is writing and directing said shoot. So yeah, she's doing her thing. But today we have a near and dear friend, a co-author of the Get Realism's book, production designer. There's many titles: badass, god of art, goddess of art.
Whoa, god of art! Let's knock it down a couple notches.
Batwoman. No, we are with the amazing and wonderfully talented Kelly Penna. She is the co-author of Get Realism's the book. You can get it now at getrealism.com. And she's a working production designer here in Austin, Texas. And Kelly, how long have you been in the industry for now?
From the very beginning, like starting off just being a PA or gopher or whatever, probably, yeah. I think 6-7 years now, maybe.
7 years, okay. Almost a decade.
There isn't like an official start that I remember. It just, once you start working.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think around 6-7 years.
So, you've done... You told me you've drawn though for a really long time. Like you like drawing, like you do sketches and whatnot. Has drawing sort of manifested itself your way into production design or art department stuff, or has it been sort of like the opposite? It's just you sort of found art department in a separate entity.
Well, I mean, ever since I was a kid, just kind of. I'm one of those people who's always doodled in like the margins of a notebook, like in class and stuff like that. And I was a kid, if there was ever in just a normal class, some sort of drawing or art project that was just like a kind of a throwaway assignment, I would work way too hard on it when everybody else would spend like 10 minutes on it. So it was always there, but I never really focused on it. And it was one of those things. I fell into art department. It wasn't something that I actively sought out. It was just once I worked on set, that was the department that made most sense to me. Like I could figure things out with just like the things around me in someone's apartment, how to make it look better and stuff like that. And drawing, like little art skills like that always come in handy when you do art department. So, like, because you have to, like, make signs, make brochures, Photoshop skills come in handy. If you're a carpenter, those always come in handy. It's just, like, one thing feeds another. So, it's fell into art department. And from that, working on set, started talking to Christine about lingo. And, this idea of book came along. And then, next thing you know, we have book. So,
yeah. And how long did it take you to draw the book? And you also wrote the book. Did you also co-write the book?
Kind of. I definitely helped with at least like editing.
So it's safe to say you're co-author.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was definitely me and Christine both like at the helm, trying to figure out the layout and what's the best way to phrase certain definitions where it's easily understandable for someone who's like never walked on the set and stuff like that. I helped with the index at my kitchen table. That was long.
But the drawings are great. The drawings are amazing. I love all the art for anybody who is wondering. There's one that I that actually caught my mom's attention.
And oh, she really?
Loved it. Yeah, she. Hang on, I can find it. It's this. She thought this is like the most adorable version of a typewriter. She's like, that's the coolest way to draw a typewriter. She was she's like, she should be a tattoo artist. She shouldn't work in the art department. What's she doing? I'm just like, oh, really? Like, not a bad idea. You could draw tattoos.
That's a completely different. I don't know if I can do that. It's like, I can draw. I'm not bad at it. I'm not the best, but I'm not bad at it. And back to your question, Christine and I would always say it took like a couple of years for me to do all the drawings, but going back and looking at the dates, it was actually 3 or 4 years because I was doing either a part-time or a full-time job at the time, all doing the drawings and then doing film gigs and then full-time in film and I was still doing the drawings. So it took a while. It wasn't
Get Real is, it was a part-time thing when you guys can collectively come together in a very small, finite time at a time. That's cool. That's rad. I've been now like doing storyboard drawings, and I failed miserably. Like, I told myself, like, I remembered I'm writing the feature. Everybody knows about this at this point, unless no one listens. Then in this case, I'm just repeating myself. But I'm writing a script, and I drew my first storyboard. I drew my first storyboard as an action scene. It's the opening scene to my script. And I realized very, very, very quickly in how hard drawing is. Because I literally jumped right in as if like it was like I'm back from like 6th or 7th grade when I drew doodles on my notebook. Talk about drawing doodles in notebooks. That's what I did in my whole, actually high school too. So like I would have to channel myself back to, you know, 2011 Adam and, you know, draw, you know, what I think I could draw, but it's mostly Dragon Ball Z characters. What the fuck do I know? So I got the job done, but it's complete garbage drawings. Like they're not good. they look like they're drawn from like a kid, you know, who's like waiting at the doctor's office and like had like a Xerox paper and crayons and he's like, draw me a picture of landscape. And like literally like this is how the fucking kid would draw it and shit. That's how I do.
Well, to be fair, I've done a couple of like storyboard things for Christine when we've done like really short, like quick fire shoots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And at first, like those I don't put a lot of effort into because it's more of just like getting placement of the actors, like the shot, like just like very basic stuff. But
yeah,
I start off strong. Then by the end of it is just like chicken scratch just because I'm tired because I have to do it real fast on the second because, of course, Christine's like, oh, can you do this for me in the next 5 minutes? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, draw an entire scene? Okay, sure.
And then in my, like yours, it turns into Stick Figures. It's just like a line with like a head and like...
Well, this is what, like, I mean, I don't want to show it. So it's not going to happen. But basically, like, how I drew it was, like, I wouldn't even write text on it. So it would be, like, tree, road. Like, I would write road. And it would be, like, person one, person two, over-the-shoulder shot. And it would be, like, a silhouette. It looks like an amoeba. Like, it just, it doesn't, it looks like osmosis. Like, it doesn't even look like it belongs in the frame at all.
Right.
But I would be, like, person one. This is the main character. This is what we're focused on. And then...
Yeah.
So I get the job done, but it's not great. But anybody who can, you know, from the outside can look at it and interpret, oh, okay, this is how. So that's what I'm trying to convey.
That's all you need is like if it's understandable from anybody else's perspective of what the shot is just gonna look like, it doesn't have to be pretty necessarily. I mean And I think the fact that you're even storyboarding helps, because not storyboarding doesn't happen too often anymore. It's usually...
Why do you say that?
Just because, unless it's they already know a person who is an artist or has some sort of programming or something, that's a slow pre-production process. Like, everything is so fast, so quick. I think a lot of people feel like they just don't have time to sit down and create a storyboard. It's like, well, we can make shot lists, which is faster because you're just typing. Or they're like, oh, I have the shots in my head, and I have a very quick shot list, or I've talked to the VP. I think storyboarding, from my perspective, it doesn't happen too often anymore, unless it's like a big budget, you know, Disney movie, and then they have whole departments, you know, dedicated to that.
Well, yeah, just dedicated only to storyboard and concept art, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I never thought about, yeah, I guess you're right, though. I guess, like, in the very few projects that I've worked on, I've never truly seen, like, storyboards, you know. Granted, they're short films. I've only worked on a couple of features, not many. But, yeah, not many of them have storyboards. Mostly shot lists, definitely shot lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is easier to just type up. But for me, clearly I can't articulate my words. So I resort to drawing, because it's the easiest. Pictures are easier, man. You know? Yeah. I don't know what to say. Like, I know it sounds prehistoric, but it's true. Like, I've only understood things that I can see because I'm seeing them, not because, like, oh, I can describe everything that I'm seeing.
Right.
Remember, I dropped out of college. I'm not smart. So, I resort to these storyboards. And the reason why I did storyboard in the first place, because at first I didn't want to. At first I thought, I was like, you know, like, whatever I write, it'll be interpreted, you know, exactly how I see it. But when I go back and reread some scenes, I'm like, oh, anybody who reads this won't understand. And I did show scenes to, like, my friend Burns, you know, Burns. And he is like, I don't know what you're like. I don't know what the scene is like. I don't know what you're trying to say. Like, I don't know what this action's all about. So when I go back to, let's say, storyboards, even though I'm scribbling and I'm writing down, like, this is supposed to be a tree, I'm still creating that picture that I see in my head. Probably not as vivid and as clear as I can see it, but at least when I do it, I can show it to somebody and they can understand what I'm trying to get after, you know. And I also read somewhere that the people who storyboard tend to have a more, not strict is the wrong word, but more of a set way of how the frame is supposed to be. They have a solid idea. Exactly.
Oh, I agree. I definitely feel like some people, and this is a very general statements, like, sometimes it's like someone might start off with an idea of how they want the shot to look like, then something happens and then they have to almost like shop around for a new shot. So right. I think storyboards definitely help at the very least to
establish where you want to go,
confidence almost, like, in the frames and the decision making. I don't know.
At least lay down the foundation of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't get what you want, at least you can show what you want. You know, you don't have to necessarily. Yeah. It's a fair way of putting it. Yeah. Storyboard it's definitely something I underestimated, and I'm learning very quickly that, you know, it truly makes a whole ton of difference when you are a little better at drawing than if you are just complete shit. Not saying that, you know, I can't do it either way. I probably could, but I know I can do better. That's why it's taken me forever to finish this fucking script, because I can't come up with an ending for the life of me. Mm-hmm. So this way for me, at least I can see what the general idea of the movie is going to be like, and like what the mood is going to be like in the atmosphere. So yeah, I hope I can get better at drawing. I watched a few YouTube videos. I don't have the confidence yet, but man, I can trace like a motherfucker.
That's how you gotta start off sometimes. I mean, the thing is, it's like, practice does help. I've definitely, when I first started doing drawings for the book, like, they were okay, but like,
the drawings are great. The drawings are beautiful. I love them.
I definitely noticed, like, later on, some of the later drawings were actually a lot better. So it was just like, that long process actually just in general helped me get better at drawing too.
Yeah. And that's, so do you feel like, do you get a chance to storyboard as much as you would like to on sets that you work on, especially if you're, let's say, a production designer?
Well,
or art department, like, doesn't matter.
Creating storyboards and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, for me, I don't know.
Because I've seen your storyboards with Gloria. That was posted on, it was on Instagram somewhere.
Those weren't me. Those weren't mine.
Those aren't you? No. Oh.
I think that was actually Camille.
That was Camille.
So that's, as far as I remember.
Okay.
So that's the thing. Storyboards are more, getting storyboards created falls more under like the director and the DP of like determining like how they want a scene to look in terms of framing, in terms of blocking with actors and stuff like that. I, for a production designer, it's still useful to see storyboards also of like, you know, should I hang this here? Is it going to look weird? Is it going to be like in the back of someone's head? Like I have that thing behind me right here.
Right. Yeah. Something sticking out of the background.
Yeah. Just to have like a visual reference.
Yeah.
But as a production designer, unless like someone asks me specifically to create the storyboards for them, it's more for the director and the DP, who have like the plan for how they're going to execute the shoot.
Right. Yeah.
Cause that's basically what it is. It's just the visual plan of the shoot.
It's just all the visual planning. But the production designer is involved heavily in almost every aspect of production, probably not post-production, but at least pre-production and shooting, of course.
Yes.
You know, that's like two-thirds of your job is to pre-plan, you know, visually storyboards and lay out locations and know which way camera is going to shoot, which direction, X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And then during the shoot, you know, you're heavily involved, like you said, like in terms of problems that may arise. Like there's just some cases where you won't get that shot that you have drawn on the storyboard, or that is written, or that's clearly supposed to be there, but it just inevitably wasn't. You sort of have to adapt and think creatively in terms of especially in a time crunch, you know, when you're facing, like, you know, you're going partial through your day. And for those of you who don't know, working with Kelly on set is absolutely awesome. It's a treat. It's an absolute treat, because you see the gears working in this lady's head, firing out all cylinders, working as fast as she possibly can, and she can set a room to whatever you need in no time. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. It's almost like you're a teleporter. It's just like, you know, you tell me to, like, you just start on one thing and you tell me, and I'm just, you know, a PA. I'm just, you know, there on the sidelines. and you would sometimes ask me like, hey, if you can get me this, that'd be great. And I'm like, yeah, get it for you. Come back. And you're already done setting the scene. You're like, I actually didn't need it. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. You're like, I figured it out and I didn't need it. And I'm like, great.
It's like, you have to move fast. I mean, that's the thing. If you're taking too long, I'm not going to wait, honestly. And it's nothing personal. It's one of those things that's like, I just don't have time to take a second to pause. Like, yeah, if I can do it myself, I will.
So I want to ask you, what to you, and it could be a movie, it could be anything, what do you feel like sets the precedent for good production design? Like, does it start with pre-production? Does it start with, you know, like how the script is written? Of course it's how the script is written, how well the script is written, of course. But like, I'm talking about, I guess, like in terms of like, what production design have you seen that you've taken for yourself and you're like, this is literally my blueprint on everything that I do for production design? Or it doesn't even, if there's not a movie that you can think of, it could be anything, you know?
Well, it's, I don't know if there's like one.
If there's plan. A few, yeah.
Like, there's never like one style as production design. Right. Like, you get thrown into anything. So,
yeah.
You know, with Gloria, I did a period piece with, what was it? A couple others. It was sci-fi. I mean, it's been drama, it's been comedy. So there's never one blueprint of like, I guess in terms of style, because you have to adapt to whatever the script is.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't get to work under other productions designers too often. I need to do that more often just to see how other people work and how they operate. It definitely, a good design definitely starts with pre-production. I mean, I've been on enough indies to where I can work on the fly, no problem. But when you have time and room and budget to breathe and really think things out and cherry pick, you know, those props and set dressing pieces, that helps a lot. It's amazing how much it just makes it that much better looking when you have that space before the shoot to work things out ahead of time and even work out problems and have backups and, you know, work out the color palette and the correct timepieces and stuff like that. But I guess
and budget in terms of, plays a big role in it too, right? Yeah,
I know, and that's a shame. It's like, I feel like there's such a thing with the art departments, like we're always asking for more money or something like that. But it does
seem that way. Yeah,
it's hard whenever it's like,
it is. It's so hard.
It's like, there's nothing free anymore. Like, everything does cost money, and like all the little extra details you have to pay for. I mean, unless like you have the hookup.
Yeah, if it's a specific prop that you would want to, yeah, but those come far and few between, right? So right. You would have to buy all that other shit.
Yeah.
And no one pays attention to the background anyways.
Yeah. Well, I guess in terms of like one of my favorite like movies or TV shows that have like a great production, I guess, would be Penny Dreadful. The first first three seasons with Ava Green. It's just beautiful, the fact that they really nailed the like kind of Victorian Gothic not just like time period before those like cheap pulp novels from the time of the late 1800s.
Right.
So they were able to even translate that into the show.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The fact that it's like a cheap pulp novel from that time period translates into that story and just the style of everything.
Yeah. And like you said, it's all like an amalgamation of things, right? It's like the coloring, the production design, cinematography, whatever it is. The production design, though, is, I made a joke, you want to buy a bunch, a whole bunch of shit that no one's going to see in the background. That's not necessarily true. You do want to see that. And that's the whole point, is for people not to notice it, but to understand what the environment is and what they're
reading. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, it's creating a world that no one questions, basically. It's like they're in that world, they've accepted the story, and they don't, there's nothing that's taking them out of the story or making them question it, unless you're meaning for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I was listening to another podcast that wasn't Get Realist's podcast, unfortunately. But I listened to Get Realism's all the time. No, but I was listening to Smodcast with Kevin Smith, and he had Joe Alves on, who was a production designer for Jaws. And he said there was not even a script. It was like there was an idea that we want to make a shark movie, but he actually didn't know, he never seen a shark before. So he just drew what he thinks a shark would look like, and he just ended up drawing like a seal, like the first set of storyboards. He had no idea what he was drawing. So after further and further research, they come up with the script, and Joe Alves goes through, you know, their production design, and he had trouble every day, like in terms of the shark, in terms of the weather. And he said, we had filmed in Martha's Vineyard, and he said all these day shots are supposed to be beautiful, nice, sunny, bright days. He was like, most of the days we were shooting, they were all fucking rainy. Everything was rainy. Everything was just like terrible fucking weather, and the shark malfunctioned all the goddamn time. So they had to do cutaways of the shark, like they're supposed to be like a one long shot with Jaws, but just because of time and purpose and the mechanical shark just wouldn't fucking work, they had to do multiple cutaways from the shark. So they were like, we ran into all of the problems on that set. But I watched that movie again like 3 weeks ago, or like a month ago with my mom. And I forgot how amazing the production design is on that film. Yeah. And I never took it for granted. I never really understood it until like the fourth or fifth time I watched it. I'm like, yeah, you know, Amity Island does, like, it doesn't look like Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard, you know, looks like any other beach, but Amity Island looks like a beach that like came from like a comic book or something. It looked really nice. It looked really cool. And of course, you know, with Jaws and all that.
And all that.
I don't know. I thought it was cool. I thought that episode was fascinating because you never think like something that crazy of a movie like Jaws would ever encounter thousands of problems on a film set, which comes to tell you that any film set you work on, you're bound to run into trouble no matter what, whether it's, you know, art department, lighting, or, you know, camera, cast, who knows, talent.
Act of God. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you can, speaking of pre-production, I mean, you can plan down to a T, but I mean, bad things can always happen on set, no matter what. And sometimes you're just going to be like, oh, well, keep moving.
Oh, well. You just have to do what you got to do in the little amount of time that you have. Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Is there a new thing that you've seen that tickled your art department fancy that you watch it, you're like, whoa, great art department. Fantastic set.
I guess the most recent one, part of it, okay, there's two, and they're both fairly popular shows, which is fine. What We Do in the Shadows, both the movie and the show.
Yeah.
Just the fact that...
I haven't seen the show, but I've seen the movie thousands of times.
Okay, well, let's use the movie, for example.
Okay, yes.
So, Taika and Jermaine and the other producer, actor.
Yeah.
That was an indie. That was a dirt cheap indie. And that's the thing I saw on interview with Taika Waititi, and he said, you know, the guys from the special effects guys in Lord of the Rings lived out, you know, New Zealand at the time. So they literally went to them to see if they could get any things for free from those guys.
So they use Lord of the Rings props in What We Do in the Shadows?
Like any little free scraps that they had left over, they just took and used.
That is fucking wild. That's hilarious. Yeah. I'd never do that.
And just the fact that, like, even, like, really cheap B and C movie horrors, there's so much work that has to go into that to make the house look dirty, to get, you know, make it look gothic, to make it look like an old, you know, what do you call it?
Mansion? Manor?
Like on a carnival, like the...
Oh!
Like a haunted house, basically.
Haunted house, sure.
And it's there's so much work in, like, even gags in that movie. For being an indie, that was a lot of effort and money, and it's like they couldn't have done that for free, everything. Like, they still had people on wires. They still were being lifted up into the air. That one, What We Do in the Shadows, is, to me, it's like, for an indie, that's goals.
It's, especially for a comedy. And by the way, the comedic timing in the movie, I haven't seen the show, but I heard the show is bonkers amazing.
That was great.
The movie, the comedic timing in the movie was, like, that to me sets all precedent for any comedies. Like, just that dry, quick one-liner and then immediate cut to the next scene. I love that. I absolutely love that. And Taika nailed it with that. Yeah, I gotta watch that again, because the production design in that, that's another movie that I didn't really take seriously in terms of art department, was seeing that set, because you're right. Like, it's an indie, shot like an indie film, but, you know, it looks it is a built set, but it looks like a high value production set. Even though it's all, like, you know, it's all money that they all collectively got together themselves and shit, you know, that's wild.
Well, and that's another one. Right? Like, I think they also said they had a loose idea, but they didn't have a script for that one either.
Oh, really?
They just had kind of like a loose idea, and then, because a lot of what happens, it was just ad-libbed in the scene. So they would take some stuff and, like, go from there, and then take other stuff and, like, go from there, and just made the story as they went along.
Yeah.
Which has to be a little stressful.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many... I'm now trying to think of, like, other films that I've seen that I'm just like, what has been, like, amazing in terms of production, like, production design. And I watched Blade Runner 2049, the sequel to Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it? It's fucking gorgeous. Holy shit. Like, that movie from beginning to end was like a sci-fi painting. It was nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's pretty amazing.
That one was great. I've also watched another great production design. You remember The Warriors?
I've actually never seen it.
It's a great little indie film. It's about a bunch of gangs that take over Staten Island, or they're trying to get to Staten Island. Like, one group is trying to get to Staten Island. They're trying to, like, escape from, it's almost like Escape from New York, but it like Escape from New York had a bunch of gangs and stuff. It's a fun movie, but when you watch it, definitely watch the production value in that, because it's they shot with no script, and they shot it like just with like abandoned amusement parks that they're not supposed to go into and shit. Yeah, like it's fantastic. Really? It's a yes. I definitely recommend watching that. Yeah, you and Russell will especially love that movie. I think to me, but yeah, I get we are about 45 minutes in. We can take this puppy for a landing. No one likes us. We don't have any questions, but we could. Actually, I have a couple of questions for you still.
Okay.
For you with so when you prepare for a job, for any set, do you first, when you read the script, do you first read the script if you like you do you go through and highlight, like, what's your process in terms of production design or art director? Like, what's your process of going through a script, handed a job, and what's your first step in going about art directing?
Well, you got that part right. You read the script.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I always try to just read it flat and like not do anything with it at first. Just like read it to see, because usually I don't know how it works for a lot of other people, but whenever I read, I usually see what's happening in my head. If it's has enough in the script to give like visual cues.
Right.
So I just kind of read the script blank, and then I usually talk with the director and talk about the style of it and to see if what I'm seeing in my head is different from what's in their head.
Because, gotcha.
I mean, that's, you definitely kind of want to at least meet in the middle of the two, if not, yeah, like make sure you're both on the same page of whatever it is.
Right.
So that's the main thing, is like talking to the director to see like, all right, do you have a specific style? I have these ideas that, you know, when I was reading it, I was thinking of, even some directors are big on color scheme, of like working out a specific color scheme to even introduce, and not just like the production design, but maybe even like lighting, stuff like that. And for me, because Pinterest is free and I'm cheap. With some projects, I create Pinterest board just to get, like with Gloria, I created Pinterest board just to get not just like photos of like specific objects that I'm gonna buy for the shoot, but like the, sounds so pretentious, but the feel of.
Yeah, well, the theme. Yeah, I was gonna say the theme and the period. Yeah.
And then from there, it's like kind of dividing, it's like props, going through the script again and, you know, highlighting what props there are, highlighting if there's any specific locations that's addressed, or set dressing, like, oh, she's through her green purse, stuff like that.
Right.
Then after that, it's all the, before the shoot, all the hard work of like shopping and sourcing and renting and making and all that jazz.
But ideally you're part of the very beginning stages of that process too, just scouting. location scout. Like you're ideally should be part of that, right?
I like to be. I like to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Location scout. I mean, but sometimes it is out of my hands, so I just kind of have to just deal with the location because that's what we have access to, and that's just what it's going to be. But
right.
I also like to be on the location scout just to see the space in person. Because then it gives me an idea of, you know, where the camera is going to land, where I can find my kit, where everything's going to be.
Yeah, where everything's going to be set up. Have you had any moments in your, like, in your times of being on set, have you ever had those, like, those moments where you're just like, I know the answer to this question, but I want to hear you say it. When you are working, because you're working, like, you know, like 12 to 15 hour sets or more. When you get to the point of like things that just need to be changed, you work so quick on your feet. Have you ever, has there been times where you felt like, because this will be refreshing to all of us, but nothing feels like you're prepped for anything, right? So when you feel the moment of full on stress, what's the first thing you think of? When you're working on a set and you're down to the wire and you have to change a bunch of stuff, does your mind immediately go to, well, first let's think of what we got to do? Or is it like the next process of just do it and just hopefully it could stick? Like you see it and you're like, you know what, I think this will work, and you just go for it and you go based off your instincts, which doesn't sound like a compliment, but it truly, to me, it feels like a compliment, because what a lot of people don't know, especially working on a film set, when you're down to like, you know, the 13th, 14th, 15th hour, and you're at the end of the day, and you still got a whole bunch of stuff to shoot, you tend to work fast. You tend to work shotgun in a way, where you just sort of like go and move and run and jump and stop when you need to and go back and repeat, you know? Do you feel like you work well under pressure in that type of situation? Because I think you do.
I hope I do. Usually it's just because, like, if I'm ever stressed, I think I tend to just like keep it all internally and just try not to let it read on my face, even though I'm sure it does. And usually whenever it's like troubleshooting or like just trying to problem solve real quick, usually when I'm on set, it's weird whenever I have time to relax. I'm so used to having to, once I'm done setting up for that scene and we start shooting, I immediately start thinking of what needs to be done next. But a lot of times I'm, even as someone's like bringing up a problem or something like that, sounds like I'm kissing my own ass. Someone's bringing up a problem or something like that, I'm already trying to think of how to solve it or like what I have at my disposal to like work around it or something like that.
Usually, you're not kissing your ass. You're problem solving. You're problem solving.
Usually I'm always just trying to think ahead and trying to keep ahead of those last minute changes and problems, stuff like that. But
because working art department is so fucking tough. Like there's no other answer. And I know that doesn't disregard any other department. Every department is really hard on a film set. It truly is.
Yes, every department.
But art department is one of those things that just that feels like you always want to actively solve the problems before they even happen, but you end up creating more problems for yourself. Does that make sense? So for me, I end up like, I will try to solve whatever problem I think is going to happen, but then in retrospect, I will start to think of, I'll start doing other shit and create other problems that I can't solve.
Well, I think a lot of that just comes with experience overall. I mean, it's not like that hasn't happened to me before, or I just like, right. Oh, I don't have this thing in my kit. I guess I won't do it. But now I have it, you know? Right. So a lot of that just comes with experience. It's like you ask like if I think I work well under pressure, I think I'm getting better at working well under pressure. It's like, it didn't start off that way. I think I've gotten better, and hopefully I can still get better at working under pressure. And part of it also, I think with art department, it's hard to not take things personally, if that makes sense, because a lot of it is like stuff you've actually, like you've made yourself at your house for like hours on end, or like taken so much time to go shopping at like 5 different places, and then at the last minute on set they're like, oh, we don't like that. It's like, that's part of the job, and you can't get hurt because you spent all that time working on that thing. It's just that you just kind of be like, all right, and just keep moving,
move on
again.
I mean, and that was the biggest lesson I learned, the last set that I worked on, just being the only art department on that set. Well, there's a couple things. One, I also realize how much help is so essential on, especially working on art department. But the other thing was, I mean, it was just the whole thing of doing all this shit. Like, you know, we got the location, we got everything, we got all this planned, and it's nothing against the director, it's nothing against the AD, it's nothing against the scout manager, location manager, it's nothing against anyone. But there comes a time where, at least for me, this is what happened to me, locations just change. And sometimes you just get lost in that communication, and it's up to you to know exactly what we're doing. Because there's been times where I will show up the day of shooting and the DP saw a different location, he wants to shoot there, and then the director said okay, but then told lighting and, you know, camera, but forgot to tell art, and then, you know, or it would be vice versa, or it would be like, you know, I would be part of that decision making, but then sound department doesn't know, and the sound department's, you know, somewhere else too. So it's an amalgamation of things. But lo and behold, I had to work at such a fast rate in such a small little fucking time. You know, like I had 5 minutes to go at 150 miles an hour and dress this exterior shot, cabin exterior shot that's supposed to look like it's 1860s Civil War time period. Best of luck to you. Oh, and by the way, you got to move this giant modern refrigerator.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I've also, at least, I've had experiences similar, not the exact same, obviously, but that's also why I've developed a habit of being on set and eavesdropping on conversations. Because I'm like,
that's what I'm doing now. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You just slide into their fucking conversations. Sometimes
I'm just like listening in, and then I'm like, all right, they're changing.
Yeah. I quickly realized how quickly and how fast I eavesdrop, because I feel like a psycho ex-boyfriend. Like, I'm just like, you know, like they're just trying to get away from me, and I'm like, you guys are not including me in your conversations, and I don't appreciate it. You know, So, yeah. Well, we do got a question now. We got a question. It's from Abigail Johnson. Shout out to Abigail Johnson. Thank you. She asks, how long have y'all been working on movies? And what is your favorite type of film? Well, I've only worked on movies for a very, very brief amount of time. But Miss Kelly motherfucking Penna here has been working on movies for damn near a decade. So, you know, she's been rocking that film life for damn near a decade. 7 years, right?
I think so. Around seven years.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
That's scary.
You're working. You're still an active production designer here in Austin. And we also have another question too on Instagram. I almost forgot about.
What's your favorite movie, though? What's your favorite type of movie?
Oh yeah. Well, you start off first, and then I'll find this question.
Sci-fi is always
sci-fi. Yeah. I would say sci-fi. I don't know what it is, but I think as I get older, I have a deeper appreciation for Westerns. I like Westerns more now as an adult. You know, like I watched Good, Bad, the Ugly for the first time after watching it like 15 years ago with my dad, and my dad loves that movie, and I finally watched it and I understand why dads love that movie. It's so, I mean, you know, but I grew an appreciation for it, you know, regardless about prejudice. That's, you know, there's plenty of that in the films and stuff like that in terms of, you know, racism and sexism and none of that other nonsense. But other than that, it's great.
Wonderful.
Did you see HBO pulled Gone with the Wind?
No, really? I didn't know HBO had Gone with the Wind on there, honestly.
They had Gone with the Wind, and they pulled it because of their slavery in it, you know? So they pulled it. How do you feel about that? I mean, it's a historical film, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of history with that movie, right? It's kind of like Wizard of Oz, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, I see why they pulled it, and for a good reason, but
especially in day and age, this day and age right now, to this time we're living in, it's more appropriate to not watch Gone with the Wind. By the way, Gone with the Wind is 3.5 hours long. So
yeah,
best of luck to you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, well, it's one of those films, like, I wonder if it could be just used as an educational way, as ways not to depict, you know, racist stereotypes.
Well, here's the thing, because I watched Gone with the Wind in my literature and film class in high school. It was my only class in high school that I truly loved, because we watched dope-ass movies, and we just get to, like, talk about it and shit, and write a report based on like which movies we like the most. And one of them was Gone with the Wind. And it was like, the teacher was like, now the historical perspective of this film is completely obtuse to what we think of nowadays. Like, we don't think about slavery. We don't think about racial prejudice. Like, that's just a no-brainer thing. Like, we don't think about that because, you know, we don't like it. No one appreciates it. But during that time, it was normal, and like that had to be explained to us, and like why during that time. So for me, the educational purposes for that film, I completely agree with. But in terms of like nowadays, like if you're going to watch Gone with the Wind just for shits and giggles, I mean, yeah, it's cool, but you know. I don't know. I feel like it's one of those movies you watch once and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You don't need to watch it over and over again.
Since I haven't watched it, I feel like I don't get to have an opinion. I mean, good for HBO. Yeah. You know,
I guess, you know, doing the woke thing to do by not streaming it, I guess, you know. Okay, well, here's the other question for from Instagram. It is from Megan Colvin. Her question is, during this COVID crisis, what is going to be the how is – oh, sorry. I'm stoned, guys. I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. How are you going to go about social distancing on a film set, given that we have to be 6 feet apart between each other? And I answered the question already, but I want to give your two. I want to get your 2 cents into it. How what I've read is it's going to be like what we talked about before we started the show. It's going to be like a lot, just very few people on the set, like damn near like a skeleton crew, meaning like, you know, one or two people per department, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I can probably tell you it's going to be tighter film sets, right? Like half, cut by half, at least.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be smaller crews. I know I've heard a few people talking already who are on productions that they do take temperatures every morning before.
Right.
People have to wear masks all around. And my instinct is going to be like from being a set dresser, production designer, whatever, it's going to be one of those things like every department is going to have to almost like take turns inside the location if it's a small location. It's almost like, all right, let's have, you know, essential personnel only do walkthrough. All right, is this a shot? Okay, let's get the gaffer and grip in here and like production designers step out, that their stuff, productions. You know, something's got to be like almost like a revolving door of like, all right, tag the next person in so they can go in and work and then they can step out.
Yeah.
So in my mind, if it's like a small location for like indie shoots, it's gonna have to be a lot of like communication of like taking turns and whose turn is it next and stuff like that. And making sure your stuff is prepared. That you're not taking too long of like eating up too much time on set.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, going your 500th take on one specific shot because it's not quite right yet. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, that makes sense to me. Kind of sucks though, don't you think? Like, I don't know. Like with these sets, like the whole social aspect of it, you know, like it's like a congregation of nerds, like nerd summer camp for us. You know what I mean? Like we're able to like talk amongst each other and shoot the shit and have fun. Yeah. Feels like now. Okay. You know, what do I know? I'm not working on the film set right now. So I think Christine would be the better answer, better person to ask this question to. But yeah, I guess it's strange now that, you know, I don't know, if, like, because the whole social distancing thing is great. And I think we do need to take precaution, but it's kind of like the whole fun thing about being on a film set is the whole intimacy with talking to your friends and, you know, shooting the shit. And in between shots, like you can goof off and do your thing. And then, you know, when you have to go back to work, pictures up, we're working again, you know? It's going to be an interesting time nowadays, you know, I don't know how it's going to be, but I do hope that, you know, this whole social distancing thing, you know, is not going to go on for years because your boy needs a hug.
I know. I like that congregation of birds. That's the perfect description of like a film crew.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is the thing that's kind of a shame. It's like, we all thrive off being around each other because we all love doing this. So it's going to be, going to be hard not like immediately running up to like someone I know and be like,
it's like you want to run up and hug somebody and you're like, hi.
Yeah.
You know, you can't even shake someone's hand. You just have to just be like, hello, you know?
Yeah.
But then I get inside my own head. I'm like, oh, this person hates me. he or she didn't, you know, hug me and shit. So this person fucking hates my guts, you know? yeah, it's strange, strange times, but you know, yeah, it's going to be an interesting world, but I'm just excited to get back to work. You know what I mean? Like, whether, you know, we're going to be, you know, it's going to be a commercial or whatever, or Christine's feature, you know, who knows? But, you know, I definitely miss being on set. That's for sure. But I guess I don't have any other questions. I think we're good. Yeah. I mean, unless you got something to say, Kelly, I ain't got nothing else.
Yeah, now my dogs need to be fed. That's all I can say.
Okay, well let's get your doggos. Let's get your doggies fed and end this motherfucker. You guys, thank you for tuning in to Get Realism's podcast. We appreciate you. Go to getrealism.com, get the book, follow Kelly at what's your social medias? Kelly Penon at Facebook, but what's your Instagrammers?
Instagram is Cat Penna, Cat with a K, and then Penna, P-E-N-N-A. And also, we have posters now, too.
GetRealisms.com. Get your posters, get your book, get your... There's shirts now, right? There's shirts you can buy. Apparel. You guys, you can get yourself some clothes. Yeah. You guys... Do yourself a favor, pick up a book, pick up a poster, getrealism.com, follow Christine Chen, Moth to Flame Films, youtube.com/Moth to Flame Films. Tune in next week for another episode of Get Realisms. This has been it. I'm gonna end it here, and it is what it is. Okay? So thanks, Facebook.
It's short.
Short and sweet. Thanks, Facebook. Okay, well, we're done streaming on Facebook. So, that's it.